The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's racing on this edition, and a big Saturday coming up with Cambridgeshire Day at Newmarket. That's the feature race, the big Heritage Handicap. There's also the Group 2 Royal Lodge Stakes and the Fillies Group 1 Cheveley Park Stakes at headquarters. We'll also have Haydock, Chester, Ripon and Market Racing in the afternoon, and racing carries on into the evening at Wolverhampton. Sean Quinn, James Millman and Andy Holding will be your team. They'll be live from 1:35 p.m. so tune in for all of that. Right now though, my name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Rory Delaghi. How are you, Rory?
I'm not at all bad, Mark.
Good. Busy old Saturday coming up, haven't we?
Well, we're used to busy Saturdays, but a cracking card at Newmarket particularly, and decent supporting action. A couple of listed races over jumps at Market Race as well, for those who are looking forward to the jump season again. That's sort of a little bit of a tickle before the main action starts, but Newmarket's what it's all about. You've got the Cambridgeshire, which is your archetypal 35 runner cavalry charge. Sadly not a 36 runner event, otherwise you'd have a very strong favourite in it, but Air Pilot missed the cut by one. Which makes it all the more intriguing, to be honest.
It does. It's a wide open renewal, and we'll move on to that shortly. We'll keep Rory's thoughts for the end of this podcast, but before we get there, just a few things to talk about. I mean, the meeting started on Thursday, of course, a 3-day meeting. A couple of decent races there as well. The Somerville Tattersall Stakes, a Group 3 for Colts and Geldings, was one of the highlights on the first day, and that went the way of Maff Tool for Saeed Bin Saroor. Richard Hughes doing the steering. What did you make of his performance?
I thought he benefited from the step up to 7 furlongs, which is not surprising because he'd run very well at Kempton when the winner, Burnt Sugar, rather pounced on him late in the middle of the track, and he didn't have a chance to rally, but kept on strongly to keep second at the finish, looking like he would benefit from a step up and trip. Duly did so and won in decent style, and clearly there's a bit more to come from him. The Yard have done well with their 2-year-olds at the Breeders' Cup meeting in the last 2 or 3 years, and it may be that he will benefit from an even longer trip out there. Fastest turf will suit him, so Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf might just be on the cards for him.
One to keep an eye on for the future there, and one that we know plenty about already, Palisata, won the Fenwolf Stakes, the Jockey Club Rose Bowl. He was pushed all the way by Flying Officer, though, wasn't he? He really had to grind it out.
I thought Flying Officer shaped like the best horse in the race for a long way. Either lack of fitness having been off since the spring caught him out, or just lack of stamina trying 2 miles for the first time. But Palisata was given a canny ride by Andrea Azzaini, who was keen just to sort of coax him through the race rather than get very serious with him, and that's worked for him. But the race was delayed by quite a long time because Palisata took forever to get to the post. Was once again in a muck sweat as he was at the Curra last time out, and that's a big worry for him going forward. He doesn't have a temperament that suggests he will handle the big days particularly well, and you just wonder how he's going to develop. Again, the Jumps boys would love to have him.
Yes, massive, isn't it?
He's a big horse who would certainly jump a hurdle or a fence in time, but his highly strung nature is going to be an issue for him. And I just feel that the race ended up taking very little winning yesterday. Time's Up, who'd won the race 3 years previously, played up even worse than Palisata did in the way to post, cocked his jaw and took Ryan Moore on a bit of a tour of, well, I'm not sure what county it was, to be honest, whether it was Suffolk or Cambridgeshire, but he ended up a long way away from where he should have been and then ran no race at all. So only the front two give their running. And I think a lot of people now will think that Palisata has proven himself over the trip and proven himself in the grade. And I'm just not quite sure. I just think that while he's got plenty of talent, it's going to be difficult keeping him on the right track.
Okay, so an air of caution still surrounds Palisata then. Anything else catch your eye from earlier in the week?
No, the one thing that did catch my eye, and we'll come on to it later on in my selection in the Cambridgeshire, is the form of the Jeremy Nasida Yard has been pretty moderate through the year. Better signs in the last few weeks, and his main wins this year had come on the poly track until fairly recently, but his last 4 turf runners, 3 of them have won. And he'd gone a couple of years without any winners at all on the Rowley Mile, but he had a double yesterday from three runners, and obviously won a listed race the other day at Goodwood. So the yard is now in cracking form, and I fancy one of his in the Cambridgeshire, who's had a couple of heavy defeats this season, but I think those are forgivable. So we'll come on to that shortly.
Okay, we'll come on to that next.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Saturday's racing. A very, very good card coming up from headquarters. And the first race we're going to look at is the 235, and this is the Royal Lodge Stakes, which is a Group 2 for two-year-olds over a mile, and we do have betting on site for this already. And Nafaka is the 6-4 market leader. Elm Park is 3-1, 6-1 for Salatine. Mysterioso is 7-1, 8-1 for Medrano, and Lord Ben Stack is 10-1. So a fairly short price favourite there, 6-4 for Nafaka. Are you with the favourite here?
6-4 is probably fine for Nafaka. I've got a theory about this race. He's got the best form on offer. He was impressive in winning at Doncaster in the listed race last time out from Too Cool for School, who then bolted up in the Mill Reef last weekend at Newbury. So the collateral form makes him look even better. The one thing he did at Doncaster that would worry you a little bit was that he started to duck to his right in the closing stages, but he wasn't the only horse he did that. Of course, Cut Eye Glory unseated his rider when in the process of bolting up in the Flying Childers.
Yeah.
So there was something there that was distracting the horses, whatever it happens to be. And I'm inclined to forgive Nafaka that. And if you believe that that's got nothing to do with temperament, it was just something about the track at Doncaster that was distracting the two-year-olds, then his performance looks even better. And he's undoubtedly the horse to beat. He deserves to be favourite. My theory about the race is that he'll be backed off the boards and he'll be odds on. So if you can get 6-4 now, then take it. My view is that people will look at the collateral form and look at how easily Too Cool for School won a group race last weekend, and they'll think, well, hold on a second, this horse is better than Too Cool for School. He was miles better than his rivals in the Mill Reef. Shouldn't he be an odds-on shot? And they'll back him accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that when that happens, one or two of these will drift, and hopefully the one that will drift most in the betting. He's not massively appealing at the current odds, but 10-1. I can see him twice the price. Is Lord Ben Stack.
Right, outside of the field.
Yeah, I like Lord Ben Stack a lot. He has got an official rating of 84, which gives him no chance here in terms of official ratings. I'm just hoping people look at the ratings and go, well, hold on a second. Saladin bolted up off a mark of 92 last time out, and Nafaka would have a mark well in advance of 100 after winning a listed race last time at Doncaster. So Lord Ben Stack looks outclassed. I don't believe he is. I think he's a lot better than the bare form of his maiden win at Haydock last time out. That form's already worked out well. The horse that was a well-beaten third, beaten five lengths behind the front two, and it looked a long five lengths to me, won a maiden race at Pontefract yesterday. The runner-up won a maiden race on his next start as well.
Yep.
The form's beginning to work out quite well, but it's his physical scope that really impresses with Lord Ben Stack. He's a son of Dylan Thomas out of a Baring mare. He's a three-year-old in the making. You know, I'd rather have this horse as a type of horse to pop up in the Dante next year, for example.
Right, okay.
And the worry for me is whether the Royal Lodge comes a little early in his career. But I've got no doubt he's got a lot of talent. He's got a lot of physical scope. He's a gorgeous looker. And I think he is better than the bare form that he showed at Haydock. And he's a lot better than his handicap mark. Carl Burke could have won any nursery over a mile plus that he wanted with this horse, but has decided to go straight to group races instead.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that's not the trainer losing his senses, because he's a very shrewd man, but that he knows he's got a group horse in his hand. He's also entered in the Racing Post Trophy,
right? Okay.
And I think there's a lot more to come from him. I just hope he drifts a bit to a more attractive price, because as I said, when you look at the ratings on paper, he's a long way behind Nafaka, and it may well be that the favourite gets shorter and the outsiders get bigger. And if Lord Ben Stack goes 14-16-1, then I'd be very interested indeed.
Okay, Lord Ben Stack then could be a bit of value for a bit of a surprise then in the Royal Lodge. Just out of interest, if it's one of the races that we price up betting without the favourite, would you look at him without Nafaka?
Because it's not that I'm against Nafaka particularly. It's just that I think Nafaka will be well backed, and then something has to give if something is well supported. There's no holes in Nafaka's form. As I said, Too Cool for School's win last weekend flatters him by the margin that he won by. So the collateral form isn't quite as good as it looks, but it's still solid. There'll be five runners without Nafaka, and there might even be an angle to back Lord Ben Stack each way. It could easily be 11-2, 6-1 without the favourite,
yeah.
In which case you get in two places as well. He'd be appealing.
Okay, good stuff. That's the Royal Lodge Stakes then. Moving on to the Cheveley Park Stakes next, which is a Fillies Group 1. It's at 3:10. It's for 2-year-olds and it's over 6 furlongs. And no surprise to see that Tiggy Wiggy's pretty short at the top of the betting. She heads the market at 11-10. It's 4-1 for Anthem Alexander, 9-2 for High Celebrity, 7-1 for Tendu, Terror is 10s, and then 25-1 or bigger prices. The rest, we've got non-runner money back on that race. Can you see past Tiggy Wiggy here? I mean, her form is,
she is
impressive.
Well, she stands out on form, but I can see past her because I'm not sure that 6 furlongs at Newmarket will suit her as well as what she's had so far. She's already been beaten, of course, by Anthem Alexander at Royal Ascot and the Queen Mary.
Yeah.
She's improved since that. She was very impressive in winning the Super Sprint at Newbury, and then she beat Anthem Alexander in the Lowther at York last time out. She was given her own way in front there at York, and the flat track at York suits out and out speed, whereas Newmarket doesn't so much.
Mm-hmm.
She may well be, we know she's good enough to win this. She is very flighty. She just wants to go from the start. She wants to sprint when the stalls open. And I think to win at Cheveley Park, or indeed if you're going to think of her as a Guineas filly for next season, she needs to settle a bit better in the early stages and conserve something for the finish of her races.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering whether Richard Hughes will think, right, well, I've got to ride her slightly differently here to get home at Newmarket. And if he does ride her differently, I wonder if she'll fight that. So you're not guaranteed the tactics we've seen from her so far.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not sure if she does try to sprint over the 6 furlongs on slightly dead ground, whether she'll get home. So I think there are reasons to be against her at a very short price.
Okay.
And, of course, there's an each-way angle. You can back anything each way and get a reasonable return for your money anyway. So even if she does win, you're still getting a degree of value there. And the pair who appeal are Anthem Alexander again. She only third behind Tiggy Wiggy at York, but again, looked like she needed... I know she won over 5 at Royal Ascot, but bear in mind, Rosina, who won that race last year, ended up winning the Fillies Mile.
Yeah.
So winning the Queen Mary doesn't mean you're all speed. It just is an early test of class, really. And Anthem Alexander is bred to stay a little bit further. She will appreciate the stiffer 6 more than Tiggy Wiggy will, in my opinion, and she should get a lot closer tomorrow. So I would rather have Anthem Alexander each way at the prices, because you're pretty much getting a free bet and it's hard to see her out of the frame.
Mm-hmm.
The other one who makes some appeal is Tendu. She needed the run in her debut, but still showed plenty of ability. She's also a big scopey filly who improved markedly to win at Kempton last time out, beating Commandaria, but sprinted clear in a good closing sectional, which suggests she's got a lot of class. The worry with her is that she flashed her tail on debut at Newbury. She flashed her tail again when winning at Kempton.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's two ways of looking at that. It didn't stop her winning. She didn't try to throw the race away. She just flicked her tail a couple of times, and sometimes that's just a habit. But it can also be a sign of temperament, and it's just a little bit of a concern, especially as running at Newmarket will be much more of a temperamental test than Kempton would be. So that's a slight concern, but Tendu's got a lot of upside about her. She'll improve a lot again from that Kempton race. And because that came in the all weather, I think a few people will underrate it. But I don't see why she shouldn't handle turf. Most of the family did.
Okay, fair enough. So a couple of each-way stabs at the Cheveley Park then, and on to the feature race of the day, the Cambridgeshire, which is a heritage handicap over 1 mile and 1 furlong for 3-year-olds and older. We have 35 of them in the lineup here, so I suppose we'll give you a few stabs at this one as well. Conroy is the 7-1 market leader. It's 10-1 for Velox. Bronze Angel 14s with Extremity, 16-1 for Educate, Nice of You to Tell Me, and Queensbury Rules. 20s for Banknew and a Heron. Forgotten Hero is also 20s with Homage. Balti Boys and several others are 25s, and then much bigger prices for the others. 7-1 the field just sums up how competitive this is, Rory. So which ones are on the shortlist?
Well, Cornrow deserves to be favourite now. He's only had 5 career runs. Still learning all the time. He was impressive when winning on his reappearance, and then rather unlucky drop out to 7 furlongs at Ascot last time out when I put him up as a bet. Led, tackled and passed, and then rallying again at the post, and only went down by and a finish of short heads. And I think, given another furlong, he'd have won that race.
Yep.
He also will have learned from it. And John Gosden's an exceptional trainer for these late season targets. There's no one better in the country than him for that, and Conroe will improve further. So deserves to be favourite, and I've got a lot of respect for him, especially from stall 30. I suspect, looking at the lineup of the race, there are a lot more appealing horses drawn in the high numbers than there are in the low numbers, and a fair bit more pace there as well. So those drawn close to the stand side rail probably will have the advantage based on a quick reading of that lineup. And Cornrose in 30. Bank Nuna Heron, who won the Silver Cambridgeshire last year, is drawn in 29. He won't be disgraced either. There are plenty of others with chances. Velox came from a long way back to be placed at Doncaster and should run well. Bronze Angels won this race before. You can go through half the field and give them chances. But I like one at a big, big price, who doesn't have the best of the draw. This is a horse I like on the basis of his talent alone, and that horse is Jaeger.
Yep.
Trained by Jeremy Nasida. I wouldn't have touched a Nasida horse until about 2 days ago, and all of a sudden a flurry of winners from the yard. There are reasons to forgive Jaeger a couple of bad runs this season, because everything from the yard was running badly at the time. He won twice last year. He won a maiden at Leicester in very good style, and then he was hugely impressive in winning a handicap at Ascot. And on the back of that, Nasida, who's a pretty shrewd handler, took the horse to the States, to Arlington for the Secretariat Stakes, which is a grade one.
Mm.
So for him to decide to run this horse in a grade one race in the States suggests he thinks an awful lot of him. He wasn't good enough, or he wasn't ready for that kind of test at that stage.
Yeah.
And then when he came back, he ran flat on the back of it, which is unsurprising when you take a horse all the way across the States and back again when they're that young. It's a big test for him. So a couple of moderate runs at the end of last season, but the excuses for them. Ran very well at Lingfield on his return. Came from further back than the winner. Wasn't well positioned the way the race went, and you thought, this horse is set for a very good summer campaign on turf. And I napped him when he ran at Ripon on his next start, and he ran an absolute shocker. He was tailed off, ran no race at all. And then his next run came over a trip that wouldn't have suited him, 7 furlongs, and one of the hottest handicaps of the season, the International at Ascot, and he couldn't get competitive there, but that's easy to forgive. And now that the yard's back in form, this is a horse with pretensions to be pattern class, who's running off a mark of 93. The handicapper really hasn't got an idea where he's at this stage, and it is possible he's lost his way completely. But given a few from the yard are showing much better signs now, I think there's every chance that Jaeger will also bounce back, and he's a completely forgotten horse. So he's been around 40-1 on the betting for this through the week, and hopefully he's still around that kind of price now.
Yeah, 33s, so
yep.
Not quite 40s. But
33s is attractive enough. Five places there?
Yeah. A quarter of the odds, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, yeah.
That's not bad at all. Another one you could throw in there, I don't think he's got a great draw either, is Buxday, who I've tipped up a couple of times this season. He's run very well. He was only just touched off at Goodwood. He was on the wrong end of one of Ryan Moore's finest rides of the season there. And then he ran a cracking race again last time behind Tiger's Tail at Kempton. So he's still improving. And if he wasn't drawn on the wrong side, I'd give him some sort of chance as well. But again, it's a 35 runner race in which you can probably give 25 of them some kind of chance. So you do want to be finding one at a biggish price.
Yeah, so Jaeger at 33-1, then your main pick. Do you want a couple in there? Do you want another one to go with that?
I would have Cornrow the favourite as a saver. 7-1 is absolutely fine about him. He really could be anything. And John Gosden's won this twice before with horses who've turned out to be Group 1 horses, essentially, and Cornrow could easily be going that way himself. So I respect him more than anything else in the race.
Okay, good stuff, Rory. Let's just have a quick summary of your selections, if you'll spin us through them one more time.
Yeah, in the Royal Lodge, although I think the favourite's got a cracking chance, that's Nafaka, I suspect there will be big prices available in the afternoon about Lord Ben Stack, who's the outside of the field at the moment, may drift further, and he makes some appeal. I'm against Tiggy Wiggy in the Cheveley Park. I just wonder whether the stiffer test at 6 furlongs will suit her, and whether she may be ridden differently as well. And Anthem Alexander, who beat her at Ascot, may well beat her again. It's 1-1 between the pair at the moment, yeah, and it could end up being 2-1 to Anthem Alexander after tomorrow.
Okay, and then in the Cambridgeshire,
my main arrow is on Jaeger,
yeah.
But I will probably have a saver on Cornrow at the current prices. I think he'd end up being a hotter favourite on the day.
Okay, good stuff. Fantastic work. Good luck with your selections, and enjoy on Saturday.
Thank you very much indeed.
So there you go, the thoughts of Rory Delaghi on Saturday's racing at Newmarket. You'll hear the action from there, as well as Haydock, Chester, Ripon and Market Raisin in the afternoon, and we continue continue into the evening with Wolverhampton. Sean Quinn, James Millman and Andy Holding will be the team in the studio, and we'll be live on Racing Radio from 1:35 p.m. So do tune in for all of that. A good Saturday coming up. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.